I'm glad God is mighty to save. Last week I preached on the freedom of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm so glad that God, the Holy Spirit, is not limited by men. That God decides and God moves. And your friends and your family or your straying away children that are so difficult and so stubborn. The Bible teaches us that the Spirit of God is absolutely as free to blow upon them and to give them a brand new life, that nothing in their past, nothing in their life is greater than the Spirit of God's power to move and give them life. Amen. What a joy. God, the Holy Spirit, can move mountains of unbelief and give faith. I want to preach on the third chapter of John in verse 16 today. I'm going to read verse 14 through verse 18. John chapter 3 from verse 14 through verse 18. And I'm going to preach on the amazing love of God. Now I'm going to preach seven huge things in this text this morning. And tonight, I'm going to preach one thing. All from this verse. But I want to just take a second to share with you that Kara is putting herself through a lot of extra work to do something for you. Our church has a website, and if you'll go to our website, you can pull up a lot of things, but you can pull up the sermons that have been going on in the weeks in the past. Now, that doesn't mean that today's sermon will be on the website this afternoon. It takes work. Kara has to edit out some of my difficulties in my sermons. I mean, she may have to edit, if I were to cough, she may have to edit that out. If I were to get real confused and have to admit that I'm just kind of a poor speaker, she might have to edit that out. I hope she doesn't edit out too much just because of time. But anyhow, this is an amazing opportunity. Folks, the Gospel of John can share with your friends and your family how to be born again. I mean, it's like if you could get your family to listen to these sermons on the Gospel of John, you will be handing them a tract. You'll be handing them a visual presentation of the Gospel. John said, "These things I've written that you might believe in the name of the Son of God." So John's gospel was written that people might believe. And so you need to share with all of your friends how to go to North Cross at First Baptist Church, our website, and then find, I think it's on the menu, right, Karen? They'll click on menu and then they can see sermons. Now, I'm afraid they also put some of my Wednesday night sermons on there. Now, my Wednesday night's totally different Sunday morning. I have a lot of fun. I talk, I ask questions, I interact. I'm not nearly as polished. Well, I don't know if I'm very polished anyhow. But anyhow, I don't know that I would always want my Wednesday nights to be public, but they are, or some of them are. And Kara, if any of them's ever too bad, just edit the whole thing out. But I do know this, the Gospel of John and the power of the Holy Spirit of God can change any life out there. And so I think you ought to share that. And the reason I shared is that you will share. Amen? And so, Kara, even on that thing called Facebook, if you don't mind, every once in a while kind of put it out how to find us so that people can hear the gospel. Folks, it's not about me, it's about Him. It's the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ this morning. John chapter 3, we begin reading in verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, I'm going to preach on that maybe next week, verse 14. I'm skipping it for today. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that is just a picture of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So verse 15 says, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. And then the amazing text about an amazing God and an amazing love says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged or is not condemned. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, a lot of people argue about a lot of things about this verse and about the love of God and about God's free offer of salvation. And that is tragically sad that people argue about things like that. Why don't we just look at the Word of God wherever God speaks and believe what God says? Amen? I mean, why should you and I try to add something to the Word of God that's not there? Or why should we try to take away from the Word of God something that is not there? The Word of God is clear and the Word of God is plain. The Word of God says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, my friend, that's pretty clear and pretty plain to me. I believe in that verse that God says that God loves you. Now, you are a part of the world, right? John uses the word world more in one way than any other way, and it's the way he uses it here. When John says God loves the world, John is saying that God loves this whole world of lost humanity. The whole world of lost humanity. Everywhere in the world, everywhere there are men, everywhere there are unbelievers, there is a love of God for them. And so I can say to you that God loves you. And you say, well, how does God love me? And this is how God loves you. God loves you this way. Or God so loves you, this is how, that he gave his Son to die. God so loves you that he gave his Son to die, so that if you would believe in him, your sins would be forgiven and you would have perfect life in heaven forever. That's the amazing promise of this verse. Does that verse exclude you, or does that verse include you? I think Is there anything exclusive in that verse? No. The Bible says that God loves this whole world of lost humanity. All of this world, everywhere this world is. Thousands and thousands of refugees coming to Nashville, Tennessee, and to Dallas, and to St. Louis and to other places in the United States now, coming from all over the world, from nations that speak all different kind of tongues. And my friend, I can say to every single one of them, God loves you. And the love that God has for you caused him to send his son to die on a cross. And if you believe in him, you will have everlasting life. I can say that because God says it. Amen? Now, that is not the entire truth, the whole truth about the love of God. God's love is greater than just the love of God that's talking in this verse. But the love of God in this verse says some things really clear and really plain. And it is this, that God loves this whole world of lost people. And he loves them so much that he gave his son to die on the cross. And whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Wow. How amazing is that? I want us to look at seven things that I just think in this verse that are just huge. Can you guess what the first of those seven is? Who are we talking about? God. The Bible says, for God. God's the subject. He said, for God, soul of the world. Who's he talking about? The God who created everything. The God who is the God of the universe and the God of all the world and the God of all people and the God that has brought into life all of us. That God, the only true God. And this God that God so loved the world, you've got to understand that God is not just some cosmic something. My friend, God is the person of God. He is a person. Now, he's not a physical person other than the Lord Jesus that came in human flesh. But, I mean, God is spirit, right? And yet God, even though the Father, God the Father is spirit, listen to me, he has personality. God has a will. God thinks. God feels. My friend, God feels love. You know what? God feels so much love for this whole world of lost people that he sent his son to die on the cross. And whoever believes in him will have eternal life. God loves you. God loves you. No matter who you are, God loves you. God also may be angry with you. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. And he is. You see, God not only has the characteristic of love, and that's the error of some, God also hates. God loves you. But my friend, God hates sin. And God is angry with the wicked. That's how we know that God is a person, personality. That God, he thinks, he wills, he feels, he loves, he hates. God deals with us in relationship to right and wrong, good and bad. God responds to right and wrong, good and bad. But God himself is absolutely righteous. And God only does what is right. Amen? My friend, we are made by God. The Bible says about Jeremiah the prophet, and God doesn't do something for him that he didn't do for us. But God's word says about Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. God had plans and purposes for Jeremiah before he was ever born. But make no mistake, my friend, even though your mother and daddy were used by God to bring you into existence, I'm going to tell you, God made you. You were created by God. You were made by God for his glory. You were made by God, to honor God, to give thanks to God, to give glory to God, My friend, you first and foremost, you were not made for you. You were made for God. Everybody seems to think in this world and that you were made for you. You're not made for you. You were made for God. And that's where we failed. The Bible says in the third chapter of Romans in verse 23, "For we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." You and I have not honored God. We have not brought glory to God. And we've not been thankful to God as we should. We're failures. We've sinned and dishonored God. And all of us have sinned. So the first thing in this text is God. The second thing is the world. And I've really already shared with you that. The world is everyone. Everyone that's ever been made by God is part of the world that John is referring to. God so loved the world. Everyone is included in that phrase. So you're included in that phrase. The world is the whole of everybody out of which whoever believes comes from. You understand that? The world is the whole of all of us, out of which the whoever that believes comes from. So what does it say? I just love John 1. I believe it's verse 12. It says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God." My friend, God gave you power to become children of God, and therefore you received him. Amen? Listen to me. Whoever receives him will become children of God. Whoever is part of the whole that believe. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God has the power of God to move upon anybody in this world, no matter how sinful they are. Isn't that wonderful? And whoever they are, if they believe in him, they will have eternal life. You know, there's one condition. There's one condition for being saved. And that is believing, or as the word says, receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord. The third word, God so loved the world that he gave. My friend, Jesus was given to die on the cross for our sins. God gave his son. Look at verse 17. In verse 16, it says, God gave his son. In verse 17, it says, "For God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world or to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Listen to me. God sent Jesus on a mission to save the world. God gave. God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that whoever would believe in him should have eternal life. God gave his son. In John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, I'm not going to read these. You can mark them and read them later. But in those verses, we find out that the reason the Father sent the Son so that the Son would lay down his life. That's what it says. Jesus said, I lay my life down. No one takes my life from me. I lay my life down of my own accord, and I'll take it up again. But what the verse teaches along with these verses is that God sent Jesus to lay down his life. God sent his son to die. God didn't just send his son to the earth. God sent his son into the earth to die on a mission as a substitute to suffer in our place, to pay our penalty, to die so that we can live, so that all who believe in him will have life. What amazing love. I want you to think of something. I want you to grasp this. I want you to go home with this. I want you to think about what I'm about to say. But in heaven, in eternity past, in heaven, God the Father communicated to God the Son. And the communication, I don't know exactly how it was said, but I know what was said. God the Father said to God the Son, I have enemies. We have enemies that deserve to perish, who deserve to be damned in eternity and burn in the lake of fire forever. We have enemies. And God said to Jesus, I want you to go and die in their place and suffer their torment so that they can have eternal life with us. That's God. God died so that us who were the enemies of God, us who had sinned against God, us who had rebelled against God, us who had said, God, don't trespass in my life. Those of us who had walked where we shouldn't have walked, done things we shouldn't have done, felt things we shouldn't feel, denied what we shouldn't have denied. And God said, son, they're our enemies, but I want you to go to the cross and die for their sins so that they can live with you and I forever. That's God. My friend, tell you friends about God. Even while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God has quickened and made us alive, those of us who have believed. Well, the fourth subject of the text is God's Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus, the Son of God. Some people say that, you know, something stupid like Jesus, God had relations with Mary. And listen, my friend, I'm going to tell you, God didn't have any relations with Mary to give birth to the Son of God. You listen to me. The Son of God was the Son of God, God the Son from eternity. Amen? The Son of God was God the Son from eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Listen to me. God the Son was given by God the Father to come to this world to die so that whoever believes could have everlasting life. That's the gospel. And God the Son responded to God the Father. When God the Father said to God the Son, I want you to go to the cross, God the Son said, I willingly am ready to go to the cross so that the enemies of us can be forgiven of their sins and be given eternal life and live with us forever and have perfect life with us forever. Wow. Amazing love. How can it be that my God should die for me? But that's what he did. And who did he die for? He died for all of those who would ever believe. My friend, if you go to hell, it'll be because you didn't believe in Jesus. And if you go to heaven, it'll be because he loved you so much and the power of the Holy Spirit was so awesome and the power of the Holy Spirit moved and breathed into you life and you put your faith in him. But my friend, if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what you've got to worry about. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? So the fifth word in the text today is believe. The first thing that the word believe means, that whoever believes, the first thing it means is the promise of chapter 3, verse 16 is not for everybody. Do you see that? Everybody's not going to have eternal life. Everybody is not going to have eternal life. In order to have eternal life, in order to escape condemnation, in order to escape the sentencing of God's judgment, my friend, you have to believe on the Son of God. Everybody's not going to be saved, folks, whoever believes. And the word believes is a word that sometimes John uses. Well, he uses another word synonymously, and that is the word receive. As many as receive him. It means the same thing. Believing means receiving. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Now, believing means trusting. Believing and trusting that Jesus is God the Son. Believing and trusting that Jesus is God the Son who came into the world to die as the substitute for all who will believe. Jesus is our sacrifice. He was our substitute. He took our place. He took our place in the sentencing and the carrying out of the sentencing. John 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody here has already been sentenced by God to eternal damnation and burning in the lake of fire. You're already sentenced. It has already been written. And unless you believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son who came into the world to pay for your sins, who received the wrath of God in your place, who took your payment upon himself and bore your penalty and then died and was buried and rose again. My friend, unless you believe in Jesus and what he did for you on the cross, you will never have eternal life. But you will suffer what is already hanging over your head today. And that's burning in the lake of fire forever. That's what the Bible means by perishing. Believing means trusting. Or it means receiving. Or you might say accepting him. Who he is and what he's done. Accepting him as Lord of your life. And as the Savior who died on the cross for you. Who took your place. Do you believe that? Has your heart ever been moved to embrace God the Son and what he did for you on the cross and say, Lord, I accept you and what you did for me as my salvation? For everyone who receives him, he gave the right to become children of God. Have you received him? I mean, do you cherish who he is and what he is and how wonderful he is and how great what he did for you and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you. I trust you. I accept you. And if not, you'll perish. Perish is the opposite of eternal life. Perishing means, friend, suffering the wrath and the anger of God forever. Forever and ever and ever, burning in the lake of fire. Not annihilation, my friend, but suffering the wrath of God forever in a lake of fire. And everybody is condemned already because you've not yet believed in the name of the Son of God. But those who believe, what does it say? Amen? What's the condition? Believing. Believing in the Son of God, and it says, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then lastly, the word life. We're not going to perish, but we're going to have everlasting life. What is that? Not just life that lasts forever, but the life of the Spirit of God living in us, increasing in us. Isn't that wonderful? When God saves us, he comes to live within us, and then the rest of our earthly life, God is increasing his life in us until what? Until it is finished. And when is it finished? When we enter into glory. From then on, we're going to forever and forever and forever and ever have the perfect life of God in us forever. Wow. We're not perfect yet, but we're increasing. We're not perfect, but we're being changed. Are you being changed by the power of God into the life of Christ that'll be perfected in glory forever and ever because Jesus so loved the world that he gave his Son to die so that whoever believes in him will find their sins completely forgiven, washed away, and a new life begun in them that'll never end. But my friend, the question is, have you believed? Have you received? You said, preacher, I prayed a little prayer, I remember when I was a kid, and you know what? That might have been it. Folks, there have been more than a few people that prayed a prayer as a little kid, and that was it. But there have been a lot of prayers that were offered up some way or another. You know, you just don't know how many times I've had someone come to me, preacher, I prayed a prayer, I went forward and I got baptized, but I wasn't saved. You know what? When someone believes in him, receives him, because the Spirit of God has moved in their hearts and given them life, they're changed. And their life will grow in Christ forever. And it'll be finished in glory where we will live forever changed by the power of God. Hallelujah. Have you been changed? There's an old song, boy, I'd love to be able to sing it, but I'd embarrass myself and you too. It's called, I've Been Changed. I've been newborn. All my life has been rearranged. Amen. That's what it is to be changed. I want you to pray with me. Father, there's so much we can understand and so much maybe we don't. But God, this verse is crystal clear. Oh God, how could someone miss it? Oh God, in their deadness, in their darkness, in their love of sin. But God, may your Spirit move. Lord, here today, maybe in the days to come as people listen. But God, would you move in hearts so that dead, lost, dying, perishing sinners could be changed? Lord, so simple, would they today say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe who you are. I believe what you've done, and I believe you did it for me. Lord, I accept you today. God, move in hearts is my only hope and my prayer for these, your children. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Whoever includes you, if you believe,